Song was written and performed by the late Rich Mullins, and it's a song that through the years, it's an old song, it's been around for quite a while. Song through the years for me has always been a source of strength. As you read those scriptures that were on the screen, I pray that those will be planted in your heart and planted in your soul as things that you can find to hold on to in the storms of life. We're in this message series which we're calling this the Facing the Storms of Life. And last week we talked about the storm of change. And things change, and we don't always like change. But sometimes change is required for us to grow. And sometimes it's a good change and a positive change. But regardless, God is always there for us. And this week we're looking at just trouble. Man, when life just is full of trouble. Next week we're going to be talking about when you're just ready to give up, when your depression sets in. You ever get to that point where you're like, I don't even care anymore. I'm done with it, you know? Whatever it is, a relationship or a job or just trying to do the right thing in life. And we just want to throw in the towel and give up. And then finally, we're going to look at when the unthinkable happens, when we face that crisis, when those phone calls that we get in the middle of the night change the trajectory of our life. The bad news that we receive that alters who we are. But today I want to look at what do we do in times of trouble. The very first scripture that was listed on the screen was a quote of Jesus found in the book of John when he was talking to his disciples about, he says, hey, you know, in a little while I'm going to be gone. And you're going to grieve and you're going to be upset and it's going to look like the whole world's coming to an end for you. But take heart, I am there. And this is what Jesus says in the book of John chapter 16 verse 33, he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. He's not mincing any words here, is he? He's saying, in this world, it's going to be terrible. You're going to have times that just stink. Times that you just wish didn't, you know, you had to go through and things happen that you wish didn't have to happen. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. There's no getting around it. But take heart. I love this. Take heart. I have overcome the world. You know the song, you know, reach out to Jesus and hold on tight might sound a little trite to some people. Well, how do we do that? How is it that we can maneuver ourselves in such a way and be in such a place in our life that the difficulties that come pull us towards Christ and not away from Him? Because we have the real option and real opportunity when difficult times come to either be drawn towards Christ or pushed away from Him. And I used the illustration last week of the sailboat. And the sailboat is it's powered by the wind. And the direction of the sailboat depends on how the sail is set and what way your rudder is directing the sailboat. Because we all face the winds of storms of life. And some people, some people aren't prepared. Their sail is not set. And if you're not prepared, you'll be blown off course and you'll be blown away from Christ. And it's obvious to people who have been in that situation in life. You want to know why? Because they live life bitter and angry. Know anybody like that? Yeah, you live life bitter and angry because bottom line is we all have difficulties in life. We all face storms. But how we come out is all dependent on where our sail is set and where our rudder is facing us. There's one letter difference between the word bitter and better. And many times people get bitter. There was a lady that I knew and I felt so sorry for her. I prayed for her a lot. But she had some difficult things in life. No different than any of you. But she had allowed those things to push her off course and push her away from God. And even though she kept up with the going through the motions of going to church, it didn't show in her life. And you would greet her and say, good morning. What's good about it? And she would walk in like that. On Thanksgiving, I would say, happy Thanksgiving. And she would say, what's there to be thankful for? On Mother's Day, I said, happy Mother's Day, and she just, the lid went off. I mean, it was just crazy. And I thought, oh my goodness. You know, I got to the point where I was just going to stay away from her. You know, and she would go into church, and, you know, we had pews at that church, and she would just sit there, and the whole time during the worship, she would put her head down, and during the sermon time, she just would look down. She would never open up her Bible. And it became very clear, the problem. One day when we were having a discussion, she actually came to a Bible study where we were discussing some things. It had been the first one that I ever seen her come to. And we were talking, and I don't remember what it was. It was during one of the recessions that we faced in our adulthood, one of the few that have happened in our time. And I remember her saying something that sort of just brought it all to light to me. She says, "Oh, if I didn't have my money," and she was a wealthy lady, "if I didn't have my money, I would kill myself." And I thought, see, she's serving the wrong God. You see, because the God of money, or the God of success, or pride, or whatever you want to do, isn't going to adjust your sail and your rudder to push you towards God. Only a relationship with God is going to do that. Only knowing the love of Jesus Christ and the promises found in Scripture, like we talked about last week, are going to do that. So in life, you can let your situations either make you bitter or better, depending on how you have your sail set. On the flip side of that, I've known many believers, many in this church, who have gone through difficult circumstances and trials and difficulty, yet they're able to praise the Lord. How do we get to that? How do we do that? Well, there's a scripture that I want to point us to today that gives us some keys of how to maintain ourselves and how to get better and draw closer to the Lord in the times of, in the storms of our life and times of trouble. And it's there in your passage, but you can look it up as 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Follow along as I read today. Where the Apostle Paul writes, says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." Verse 17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what is not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." This passage to me is close to my heart because I know that there are so many people, and maybe you find yourselves in these circumstances today where you are finding yourself in a storm of life of trouble. You're overwhelmed. You feel it's a consistent struggle just to get up every day. And you have troubles in your life, and it's what you go to sleep with on your mind, if you can even get to sleep. And once you fall asleep, it's the first thing on your mind when you wake up. Maybe you feel like your plate is full and you're about to snap and you can't handle another thing. I love the first statement. Do not lose heart. Don't give up. Why? Because there's a reason for us to not to give up. How can God work in the midst of these things? Well, let's go back and look at this passage. And the first thing that we need to learn to do is to refocus. Well, refocus on what? Refocus on the eternal. That's what it says here. So we fix our eyes on what is not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Fix our eyes. This really has the idea of viewing intently at something. That we have to look on our eyes on what's eternal? Jesus. Jesus is eternal. We have to fix our eyes on Him. And I compare it going to an art museum. I don't know if you've ever been to a fine art museum, but I've had the opportunity to go to several, and whether you're looking at a Monet, a Gauguin, a Michelangelo, whatever it is, if you're in that Renaissance art, and you look at it, it's not just something, oh, that's a nice picture, and you move on to the next one, is it? It's something that you look at and you study. You look at the brush strokes, you look at the texture, you look at the color, you look at the composition, and it takes a while to really absorb it in. I love how at art museums they have benches in front of the painting, so you can sit down and you can meditate on those things. Because at a quick glance, you're not going to get it. But the same thing is true. It's this idea of looking intently into Jesus, and that is so many ways what we oftentimes don't want to do. Reminds me of Peter. You may recall the story of Jesus calming the storm and Peter there in the book of Matthew chapter 14 and 27 in that area. And there's a storm and Peter's there and they're all worried that they're going to get capsized, that they're going to wreck. And Peter looks out and who does he see? Jesus, right? And he's like, "Lord, is that you? If it's you, call me so I can come out to you." So here's Jesus out walking on the water. Here's Peter. He was like, ha, there's Jesus now. Is it really you? Now I want to know who he thought it was going to be. But anyway, and so he says, come on out. And here's what I love, the tenacity of Peter. What does he do? He jumps out of the boat. I'd be like, no way, man, I'm not getting out of that boat. It may be rickety, but it's better than what's out there. And what happens? He fixes his eyes on Jesus. And as long as his eyes are fixed on Jesus, guess what Peter does? He walks on the water. But in the midst of all that, Peter starts to get a little nervous. And he sees the waves crashing around him. He can see the thunder and the lightning and the rain and the clouds and the wind. And he begins to focus on all these other things in life and that situation. And what begins to happen? He begins to sink. But Jesus is there and lifts him back up. You know, in life, you and I are in the midst of storms at times. And it is so easy for us to look at the situation that we're around. We think, oh no, woe is me. I can't believe this. What am I going to do? How am I going to react? How am I going to tell my parents? Oh my goodness, what will those folks at church think? Oh no. And we think about all of these other things rather than fixing our eyes on what is eternal. Rather than fixing our eyes on Jesus. If you're going through a storm today, it is my prayer that you will fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our life. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7, we live by faith and not by sight. In the midst of your storm, do not lose heart. Let me ask you, if you feel like you've lost your heart, if you feel like you're ready to give in, is your focus on the eternal? The second thing this passage tells us to do is to remember. Well, remember what? Remember that our suffering has an eternal purpose. Go up to verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. I love this statement. For our light and momentary troubles. Wow. That's almost an insult, isn't it? If you're going through a storm. You know, light and momentary. Because when you're in the midst of a storm, it's anything but light, isn't it? I mean, it's anything but momentary. Man, it's the heaviest thing. It's that all-consuming thing that is your life right at that point. Maybe even right now. And it's not light, it's heavy. In terms of it being a temporary, momentary trouble, it seems that it's going to last forever, doesn't it? But we have to understand that what Paul is doing here is comparing what we're going through now to the blessings of eternity. And the whole scope of humanity and the whole scope of what God has for you. He says these things, he's trying to get you to put it in perspective. Though as difficult as they are, as hard as it is, he says these things are what, these are light and momentary compared to what? Compared to the eternal glory. Compared to the eternal glory that far outweighs them all. See, we have to remember that our suffering has eternal purpose. Our suffering in our times right now are building for us a stronger spirituality when we lift and turn our eyes towards Christ. It's just like anything else. In life, I learned much more from my failures than I have ever any of my successes. Would you agree that's a true statement? Most of the time, I learn more from my failures than I do my successes. I remember one time getting a really bad F. I won't give you the percentage. I'll just tell you it was an F on a test. And my teacher gave me the opportunity to go back to see what I did wrong. It was physics. Oh, physics was the end of me. Anyway, he gave me the opportunity to go back to see what I did wrong and correct my test. And then my teacher regraded that test for me. Let me tell you, I remember every answer on that test that I failed that I was able to go back and fix more than any other test that I aced. You know, when you are in a difficult time, let's say, you know, relationally, you're in a difficult time in your marriage. If you're able to cling to Christ and things are able to be worked out and you get through that difficult time, your marriage is much stronger than it was before you went through that difficult time. When we don't give up, and we're going to get to this, you know, it builds strength, which is an eternal glory because we're growing closer to God. Because we have to rely more on God. It's easy to forget God in the good times, but it's the bad times where we're able to cling to Him in the fullness of His love and His grace. And so it's, I love 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. It says, we are hard pressed on every side, but what? Not crushed. We're perplexed. You ever feel that way in your circumstances? You don't have no, what in the world's going on here? But not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Guess what? God will work in the worst of your life's circumstances to bring glory to Him. You see, these are light and momentary in comparison to the glory that we will all face one day. And it may be on the other side of this storm that you're going through. Or it may not be. You may never see the resolution to your problem, but we can hold on to that promise that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is the Son of God, that He has died for my sins, you know what? We have the promise of eternity. And we have that promise that even there, we will have that hope and that peace. And so we remember that what we're going through is going to make us stronger and produce for us an eternal purpose. And finally, rejoice. Wow. How do you face the storm of life and the storms of trouble? You rejoice. That is so counterintuitive to us, isn't it? Difficult times, we don't want to rejoice, we want to curse. Sometimes we even do on occasion. And, you know, but I go back to the book of Acts when we were going through a couple weeks ago. When Peter and John and the other disciples, they were called to the Sanhedrin there. And they were warned not to preach the gospel. And they were found guilty. And they didn't kill them like they wanted to. But they said, instead, we're going to flog them. And they beat them to probably inches of their lives. And they had to wait in line while they're, you know, they knew what was coming because it was happening to the person that was in front of them. And they walked away, what? Rejoicing. How can we rejoice in difficult times? It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I like this, inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Romans chapter 5 verse 3-4 says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And I view this as a continuum. That if you're in a storm of life, you're in one of these phases of the storm. See, maybe you're in the part where you're in the suffering. You're still feeling the negative effects that a situation has on your life. And you are suffering. But he says, but it passes from that. And if we have our eyes fixed on the eternal, then we see that our suffering will produce perseverance. And some of you guys are in the perseverance phase of a difficult time. You get up, you go through the day. You get up and you pray, Lord, just give me the strength for today. And it's persevering day by day. And you may not see the end. You may not know when it's going to end. But that you have the suffering and now you're persevering through it. And it says, but that perseverance produces character. This is where it's either going to push you towards God or away from God. Your character is developed in the trenches of life. Who you are ultimately gets developed in the heat and in the stress of difficulty and suffering. He says that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character produces what? Hope. It's not a hope like, boy, I hope the Colts win today. It's a hope based on the promises of God. The Romans 8:28 hope that Carrie talked about earlier. that no matter what we're going through, if we love God, God can use those things for good. It's the hope of the promise that God will never leave me or forsake me. It's the promises that we find in God's Word. And that's what we have hope. Because we have no other guarantees in life, do we? But we have hope. You know, there's a statement that someone told me one time, and it has always stuck with me. He says, Chad, be sure that you don't waste your pain. I always thought that was a weird statement. He says, Chad, don't waste your pain. And I had to think about that for a while, because what is our tendency when we go through difficult times? We want to isolate people. We want to close it down. We want to forget about it. And we don't want anyone to know that we went through a divorce. We don't want anyone to know we went through bankruptcy. We don't want anyone to know that we struggled with a sin or an addiction or whatever. But you see, there's something that happens when we go through that continuum of going through the suffering and going through the perseverance and building character and having hope. You see, God gives us something. It's called our testimony. You see, God proved Himself in the early days of Acts through the miraculous signs and wonders. And God proves Himself and His power today through the way that He works in our lives. You see, there are so many of you who have gone through some terrible, difficult things, and you're still going through them, maybe. But I want to tell you something. I guarantee you that no matter what you've been through in life, somebody else is also going through that. And that's where God causes us not to waste our pain, but to be able to be open and transparent, because we will have an opportunity to minister to others with the way that God worked in our life through our storm. You know, it was really amazing. I was at the International Conference on Missions this week, and it was great to see several ECC folks there and to catch up with some of our missionaries that we support. But yesterday, I was listening to one of the speakers, and they were talking about their mission, which works with young girls across the world who have been in human trafficking. Basically, they're sold into sex slavery. And it was amazing to me, and it just cut my heart, that hundreds of thousands of young girls at the age of 14, 12, go missing. And they're sold into this slavery. And they're forced to work the sex brothels across the world. And it happens in the United States as well. And to me, one of the things that was so amazing was the testimony of one or two of those girls that have been rescued because of the missions that were being represented that day. And they were showing a video clip of one of the rescues, where they had gone into this brothel, and it was in the Southeast Asia area, I believe. And what happened was they found literally a crawl space in this dirty, wretched, deplorable place where they were hiding these 13, 14, 15-year-old girls. And they opened up this door. And one by one, a dozen or so girls came out of there, and they were being rescued. And what impressed me the most is there cannot be anything more shameful than to be sold into the sex slave trade. And there can be nothing more shameful than that. And we think, oh, we would never want anyone to know that this happened to us. But there are a couple of those young ladies who they were taken out, they were rescued, they were put into loving care areas of people who would minister them. Many of them have turned their life over to Christ. And a few of them said, I want to go out and I want to help these girls who are going through what I went through. And that's a testimony. You see, God wants you to share with somebody what He has done in your life. Even in the midst of your trouble and in the midst of your trial, if you're holding on to God and you're holding on to the Scripture, He wants to use you. He wants to use you. You know, I have people who come in my office often, and they'll be telling me about a difficult circumstance that they're going through. And let me tell you, I'm glad that they come, and we can look up Scripture, and we can pray together. And I think that's a good thing. But it's much more powerful when I can say, you know, you need to talk to so-and-so, because they've been through exactly what you've gone through in life. You know what that means for you? Is you have to open up some old wounds. You have to be willing to let the Lord continue to heal in those circumstances and share how God has worked in your life. Let me tell you something. That Rich Mullins song, there's bound to come some trouble in your life. But reach out to Jesus and hold on tight. Folks, this is what the church is for. Like I said earlier, I was proud of our church for all the things that we've done, you know, the last couple weeks. But, you know, those are the things on the surface. And I know that there are things that happen week to week to week where God is working miraculously in your life. And, you know, I would love to hear about that. I would love for us to be able to give testimony on Sundays where maybe on video or you come up here and you just share the way God has worked in your life. See, that's what makes the difference between this being literature or life. And I want this church to be a church where this is life. This is true. And it's not just things that we talk about and think, oh, it's great we know these things now, but they're things that transform our hearts and our lives in Christ Jesus. I want to ask you to just pray about that. Because guess what? There's bound to come some trouble in our life. So let's just reach out to Jesus and hold on tight. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for our time together today. And Lord, in your word, I just thank you that you speak so clearly to our heart and our deepest needs. Father, I pray for those right now who are in the midst of the storm and they're ready to give up, that they would not lose heart. Father, we would be able to refocus on you and remember that our suffering, Father, is going to grow us closer to you. And that we can rejoice for the way that you've worked in our lives. And so, Father, for those today who are sitting here and, man, life's pretty good, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so happy. But, Father, that we would all work together, that we would grow, and that because of your love, because of Jesus Christ and your healing, others would come to know the peace that transcends all human understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds, in the hope of having you in our lives. Father, we come to you, giving you our hearts today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.